Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
It's time for a Weird News Roundup, presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We bring you strange tales out of Odyssey stations across the country. And this week, we're covering reports about whether artificial intelligence can replace cowboys, as well as expensive refrigerators that make their owners watch advertisements, Elon Musk's boring company and its plans to construct tunnels under New Orleans, and finally, what you might not know about graffiti. Let's kick things off with Odyssey station KCBS in the Bay Area. There, anchor Holly Kwan spoke with Bloomberg reporter Rebecca Torrance about Halter. It's an artificial intelligence startup out of New Zealand that created AI-powered collars for cow farmers. With Americans in nearly all industries worried about how AI could impact their jobs, could these collars even put cowboys out of work?
Rebecca, tell us about these collars. You just put them on the cows? I mean, that can't be easy.
Thanks so much, Holly. Yes, so this startup just raised $220 million for its AI-powered cow collars. These are GPS-enabled. They connect to an app on the farmers' phones that let the farmers track the cows, track their biomarkers like digestion and fertility, and also remotely herd them. So you can use vibration and audio cues in the collars to direct the movements of the cattle to say, okay, you know, we want them to graze here, we want them to come back for milking, etc. And it's really, you know, apparently taken Silicon Valley by storm.
Do you have to train the cows to know where to go when they want to go from one pasture to the other? I mean, does this basically wipe out the need for a cowboy?
It does seem like there is some amount of training required, you know, sort of inherent in you put, like when you put a virtual fencing collar on a dog, it takes some time for them to realize, okay, there's an invisible fence there. It's a bit the same for the cows, but, you know, as they move in herds, it doesn't take too much time. The goal of these collars is to reduce the human labor needs of the farm. So farms in general are really struggling in the U.S. and in other markets. There's a lot more bankruptcies this past year than in the years prior. And so it's really, you know, at least the thesis of this company is that it's in the farm's best interest to try to cut costs, cut labor costs, and make their farms more efficient where they can.
Now, is it the $220 million that was raised that really made Silicon Valley sit up and take notice?
Certainly, the $220 million is meaningful. I would say what is especially meaningful to the Valley is the $2 billion valuation that's attached to the round, and the fact that a VC firm called Founders Fund is participating. This is the VC firm led by billionaire investor and entrepreneur Peter Thiel. He's the co-founder of PayPal and Palantir, and they have some pretty important investments in the Bay Area, OpenAI, you know, invested in Facebook and Airbnb and other really important tech companies. And so a bet from them on this company is a huge, very important signal for the market that, you know, it seems ag tech is back.
You mentioned how many farms went belly up. It's really interesting to me that there is this interest in agricultural tech startups?
It's very interesting. So I would say there's a renewed interest, it seems, right now with this company. Broadly speaking, the venture capital industry has really fallen out of love with ag tech in the past few years. You know, as the farms are struggling, a lot of the startups that are serving the farms are struggling. But I do think AI is sort of sparking renewed interest into the sector. And, you know, Halter, the startup, is now working with over 2,000 ranches and farms across Australia, New Zealand, and the US and growing. And, you know, that traction is clearly very appealing to these investors.
Are there small farms that could benefit from this? I guess I wonder, are the farmers, if they're struggling so much, are they going to be able to pony up the amount it takes to first do the investment in these cow collars?
Yeah, it's an important question for the company. Their sort of core value proposition to farmers is that in the long term, you're saving costs, right? Because you can have fewer people sort of tending to the cattle and you can get more out of, you know, your land. So one of the reasons the farms are struggling so much is that they're pouring more money into managing the farms while getting less money from their crops. One of the things that Halter can do is say, okay, you know, we want the cows to graze in this small area. We know that that's enough food for them. And we're going to make sure that they essentially get use out of every single, you know, square inch of grass on the field while allowing the other parts of the land to rest.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
While that AI tech startup wants to make changes on farms, Elon Musk's startup, The Boring Company, has proposed changes to New Orleans underground. The company has already started constructing the Las Vegas Loop system in Nevada. In a post this week on X, The Boring Company said that it had, quote, great initial meetings with elected officials regarding a proposed New Orleans Loop system. This news made some people pause and wonder if the project is really viable, because the ground in New Orleans and the ground in Las Vegas are very different. To discuss the potential challenges of the project, engineer H.J. Bosworth joined Tommy Tucker out of Odyssey Station WWL in the Big Easy this week.
The only one I think that they have now, or ones that they have now, are in Las Vegas, to move Teslas around near the Las Vegas Strip. But, okay, so how deep does this thing go? Do you know?
Well, from what I have read, the tunnels are only about 12 feet in diameter, only big enough to move a Tesla. Mm. And to get them constructed in New Orleans with a tunnel boring machine, you'd have to pick an alignment that's essentially under a street or a railroad where you have no piles. Everything here of any height, any significance, has piles under it. And you can't quite bore through a pile and expect whatever the pile is supporting to still support whatever's up there.
So what areas of the city would lend themselves to that? I know you mentioned railroad tracks, and where else you said?
And roadways.
Roadways.
So 1 mile is not a whole lot of distance. So you could effectively go from near Jackson Square to near the convention center. and possibly have a stop along the way. You know, you put it, you set this machine up, hopefully near the convention center, disrupting traffic there, of course.
Yeah.
Send the tunnel boring machine, you know, and hope that you don't run into all sorts of surprises.
The big
question.
Run into, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You'll run into cypress stumps. You'll run into old fill. You'll run into building foundations. You'll run into all sorts of things with this tunnel boring machine. But that's part of the tunnel boring business. They know that's going to happen and usually facilitate that.
So any of us that have ever dug a hole, and hopefully you call 811 before you do, but know that you get to this clay, right, that we have here. Talk about the soil that we have here as opposed to a place like Las Vegas or maybe even Baltimore.
Well, Baltimore may well have moist soils because it is, you know, coastal. Las Vegas does not. That's really just a whole lot of sand. And the boring machines are made and configured differently depending on what they're boring through. If they're boring through rock, it's got a rock head. If you're boring through sand, you slide the sleeve in first and then empty out the sand. If you're boring through muck, you probably slide the sleeve first and then dig the muck out from inside. I have some experience in installing utilities under railroads and whatnot, and that's the way the boring facilities that I have seen over the years are done.
12 feet is not very big, is it?
No, it's just big enough for a Tesla.
Yeah. So what are your concerns as an engineer about this or your thoughts about this? You're entitled to an opinion.
It'll be, yes, thank you. It'll be expensive. It'll be of limited use initially. It would be great to have, you know, a tunnel going from, the French Quarter or downtown or whatnot, and then eventually daylighting itself along Airline Highway and getting us pretty good access from the airport to downtown. That would be nice.
But that's not what we're talking about.
Well, you don't want to put anything elevated in the French Quarter. It would, you know,
yeah,
it would
start
ruin
that again.
The view.
Don't start that again. They wouldn't do that in the 60s. Uh-uh.
Yeah, well, that was part of the federal highway plan for the defense highways.
So, but that wouldn't be feasible, would it, to go from the French Quarter to Airline Highway, given the pilings and everything else that they would have to navigate?
You'd have to navigate around everything that you've got in the way. You've got a railroad that runs along the Pontchartrain Expressway, and if you can go from the French Quarter to the convention center and then possibly disrupt more traffic and then head west from that point, you could possibly get this thing, you know, to go all the way to, say, Tulane and Carrollton, daylight, and then be elevated from there to the airport along Airline.
Interesting. That would be very expensive, would it not?
Well, Elon Musk is not a stranger to spending money.
No, that's true, if he'll do it for benevolent means. Any final thoughts, HJ?
I think it's a challenge, and there will be laughter until this thing actually happens.
There was laughter when they invented the whatever. Just fill in whatever it was that they invented.
So far in this Weird News Roundup, we've covered tech on farms and tech underneath our streets. Stay tuned after the break for more strange news about technology in our homes. And then get an inside look at art that might change how you see graffiti. Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. Does it sometimes seem like we need an app for everything these days? From parking to grocery shopping to even using your own fridge? Owners of Samsung's Family Hub Smart Fridge do actually have an app for their own refrigerators. And these appliances, they sell for thousands of dollars. The fridges do have many capabilities, but they were still deemed the worst product in not one, but two categories at the CES Gadget Show earlier this year, according to the Public Interest Research Group. This week, Adam and Jordana, out of Odyssey Station WCCO in the Twin Cities, discussed just what is turning people off about these overachieving refrigerators.
So you buy a new refrigerator, mm-hmm. and they're expensive, by the way.
Yes, I'm aware.
Appliances are expensive. And maybe it's a cool new refrigerator that like has a digital screen where you can put your shopping list.
Yes.
And maybe it gives you the time.
Sure.
And it gives you the temperature outside, maybe inside. It gives you some data.
And doesn't it like tell you when you're low on things?
Correct. If you add that to your shopping list, if you, you know, hook it up digitally to maybe whatever shopping list you have. And then all of a sudden, the digital screen starts running ads for Tide, for water filters that maybe your Samsung refrigerator needs, maybe some things that are on your shopping list that you've purchased before. It starts running ads. Are you mad?
Yes.
Okay.
Get off my... I suffer through ads in every part of my life. I don't need it on my refrigerator.
You're not the only one, because this is a true story, of course. People who bought this Samsung fridge that cost, by the way, over $1,800. It's called the Samsung Family Hub Fridges because, again, like you said, you can add to your shopping list. It's digital. It's interactive. It has some connection to the internet. So kids can even say, we're missing this. We're out of this. It's a family hub fridge. They're now running banner ads for products like Tide detergent, home products, things that you would put on your list. And yes, you can disable the banner ads, but if you do it, it also disables your screen widget that shows you news, weather, calendar. So it's either, if you want to access this feature on the $1,800 fridge you bought, you have to watch the ads if you want to use the technology.
Okay. So this is basically, now I understand this a little more. If it's giving you news updates and things like that, that is not just a fridge. That's a TV and a fridge together.
Kind of. That's kind of what it is. Yeah. There's an interactive screen that it's a widget that does give you other things, news, weather, calendar, you know, yeah. temperature, things like that, because you can access your shopping right. list and, you know, things like that. And now they're running those banner ads like on the bottom of it.
We
Are
want
you still mad?
Yes, because we want everything to be smart things.
Yes, that's true.
It's a smart fridge. We don't need a smart fridge. We don't need a smart fridge.
You don't need a smart fridge.
I don't think so. Really?
Because you probably have a TV in your kitchen already.
Correct.
Somewhere.
That or
you
accessible. Or your phone.
Yeah, or your phone. So we don't. That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
But I would be mad too, because here's the deal. Paul always used to say, if it's free, you're the payment.
Yes.
Like, you know, you're the product. You're the product. They're marketing. They're selling you on something. If something is offered to you free, like Instagram, for example, this fridge already cost $1,800. You already paid for the fridge. So then, Adam, you're saying you just paid for the fridge, but you paid for the fridge with the digital access. That was part of what you purchased. I would be mad, too, if now something that I'd already paid for was using itself to market to me.
Yes.
Unless I wanted the ads, unless that was a widget that I added and wanted to see how much the price of Tide was because it's on my shopping list, I would be annoyed also because I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
To end the show, we're going to take a break from tech as we head to St. Louis, Missouri. There, the Dave Glover Show out of Odyssey Station KMOX spoke with David Weaver and Brian Walsh of the St. Louis art scene about Walsh becoming St. Louis's very first Art Fusion Artist of the Month. They also talked about the city's graffiti festival. So how do you think of graffiti? Do you see it as fine art or just mess that needs to be cleaned up? Here's a bit of Walsh's interview with Glover that might change your perspective.
Brian Walsh is the first ever winning award winner of the St. Louis Artist of the Month, so give it up for Brian.
Congrats.
His background doing events locally with a collective called Screwed Arts Collective. Also, he's got his own art gallery, 15 Windows. And then he's also been the art director for the graffiti wall for Paint Louis down on the down here on the riverfront.
Yeah.
So that's a big international event representing St. Louis. And with no further ado, hand it over to him and what he feels, what he does in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Thanks, Davide. Appreciate it. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Davide mentioned a couple of the main things I do. I'm an abstract painter for my own artwork. My studio's on Cherokee Street and has been in this in the same space for 13 years now. And like Davide mentioned, I opened 15 Windows Gallery also on Cherokee in 2024. And the artist coordinator for Paint Louis, which is internationally known graffiti festival. And we're still, you know, making folks aware of it here in St. Louis. It attracts artists from all over the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, and sometimes other countries internationally.
Talk to me about graffiti art, because I've always seen it in St. Louis. I'm not familiar with it at all, much less intimately. What do people not understand about what's going on with that? Because so many people just think it's an eyesore and, oh, wash that off, arrest people for doing things like that.
Yeah, graffiti in general is now the longest running contemporary art movement as far as art history is concerned. It's, you know, started in the late 60s, New York City, some might say Philadelphia. And now artists who, you know, still practice or started out practicing graffiti, their artwork appears in galleries and museums all across the world.
I remember being young and like, oh, I like watercolors. I do not like oils. Like, when did you kind of hit your stride with your personal art where you said, I think I found it?
I'm still working on what my stride is and how long it is or how short it needs to be. It's, you know, sometimes I still experiment with different media and, you know, I primarily acrylic and latex. Get what's called the mistint paints at the store because they're way cheaper. and you know, spray paint and markers, which are also oil based. So lots of different things I usually use in one particular piece that I might be working on.
Uh-huh. Are you, there's nothing about you that's making me ask this. I'm just so fascinated with the artistic process in doing what I do. I'm not like David Letterman, where after every show he would trash his studio with a baseball bat. But there are times where I'm like, Dave, you're just not good at this. You're just not, this is not something you're good at. Do you go through periods like that where you do a piece of art and you're like, trash, just don't like it?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah, it's, I've completed pieces and end up painting over them.
Wow.
Long time ago, I used to, you know, have a rule for myself to not paint over anything. But that went out the window a while back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, ideas might be slow to come and, you know, start developing into something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you really kind of just get in the groove in the studio, and other times, you know, go to the studio and end up just kind of sitting in the chair and, you know, nothing really comes.
Yeah. I remember seeing Mike Myers on the Actors Studio, God, 20 years ago. And James Lipton said, you write such amazing things. How do you do it? And he said, it's because I write crap every day. Like every day I write all day and it's mostly crap. And a couple times a week, I'm like, there's maybe a little nugget of something here. And next thing you know, he's got Austin Powers. Is art something like that as well?
Yeah, I think the general brainstorming process or thinking out loud is always important, whether it's writing down words or scribbling imagery. That's how ideas consciously or subconsciously are developed. And every once in a while, you end up hitting on something.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to KCBS Radio's Bloomberg Tech and Business Report in the Bay Area, Tommy Tucker and WWL in New Orleans, The Adam and Jordana Show from WCCO in the Twin Cities, and The Dave Glover Show out of KMOX in St. Louis.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.